Well, you are simply the best. You made our one-day spring pledge drive last week, One Day Wednesday, a big success. So Wisconsin Public Radio listeners get the award for being the best listeners in the world. And this service also received a bunch of awards over the weekend for news and talk coverage, and we will share that news with you, too, on this edition of Mondays with Mike. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, May the 9th. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's usually with us on the first Monday of every month to share news with you about this service, to answer your questions, and to respond to your feedback about all things related to Wisconsin Public Radio. We had to bump his appearance last Monday because of the breaking news about Osama bin Laden. But we rescheduled his visit for today and this hour, and we welcome your questions for him at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, joins me in the studio right now. Good morning, Mike.
It's great to be here, and we really were very proud this weekend with the plaudits that we received from our peers, but prouder still at the plaudits we received from our listeners, who are very much the reason we're here with the One Day Wednesday. When I checked the after the pledge drive total, it was even higher than we were able to announce on the radio. It had gone up to almost $370,000.
Oh, my goodness. That is just outstanding. And that's kind of nice that we can, with the help of listeners, raise nearly a week's worth of pledges in one day.
Yeah, you know, they've said to us in the past, each time you do it, the amount will go down. This was the third time. But whether it's because of what's in the air or whatever, and people really remembering that they care about public broadcasting or whatever, we were really thrilled. And more than 3,700 donors as well. So that's typically a family, so we don't know if that's one or two people or even three or four per donor, but we are thrilled about that.
Yeah. Thank you so very much for your support during One Day Wednesday, or if you're an ongoing contributor to Wisconsin Public Radio. The success of this drive means what, Mike?
Well, that'll help us to end our fiscal year, which is June 30th, successfully. You know, we always have to balance the budget by that time, and that looks really good, especially with listener help. Corporate support has been running behind a bit overall because the economy's been a little slow, so listeners are helping us to make sure we're balanced. And we've also been very, very careful with expenses as we've gone through the year.
Mm-hmm. We had a Laverne on Facebook ask right off the bat why you think Republicans want to defund the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Let me present that question to you, but to also get an update from you on what's happening in terms of the federal budget.
Sure. I think that it's broader than simply a Democratic or Republican debate. There is a debate going back nearly to the beginning of public broadcasting about whether a government should be providing funding for radio and television and so on. And if you look at it historically around the globe, most governments do provide something. The BBC, for instance, is kind of the spiritual model for public broadcasting in the United States, and they do receive a significant government payment to do their broadcasting, and that's true for radio in France and Canada and many, many other places. Certainly this has been a cause célèbre about every 10 years or so. I remember early in my career in public broadcasting that there was an attempt to defund that was during the Reagan administration. And fortunately, knock on wood here, I guess that's wood right there, it has turned out to be something that there's been very significant public support for it. And that has, even in this current round, it has managed to help us to preserve that portion of our funding that comes from the federal government. So you asked, how's that going? Well, in the not too long ago, within the last month or so, the vote to continue the budget for the rest of this year, that so-called continuing resolution that did pass, The final budget included funding for public broadcasting, and now the next round happens, which is this discussion about the debt ceiling, and it may come up in that debate, and then the budget for subsequent years, it will come up again. And the thinking is that there will be the usual forces aligned on either side of the debate, and our hope is that we'll find what happens, at least in the past, which is that we have support on both sides of the aisle. If you go back to the original Public Broadcasting Act of 1967, there was nearly unanimous support for getting public broadcasting started with that federal help.
We have a caller. Sarah in Rushford is with us. Hello, Sarah.
Hi. I'm very poor, but I made a point of donating during this past One Day Wednesday.
Thank you.
And in part because of it was the One Day pledge drive, and I really support that. I listened to public radio pretty much all day that day without really being bothered by the pledge drive, but when you do your fall pledge drive that lasts a week, it really gets to be a drag. So I was wondering if it is so successful, if it's something you would repeat through the year.
Well, we are talking about ways that we can continue to reduce the total number of days of on-air fundraising, but this might be a surprise, Sarah, but the One Day Wednesday work is at least as intense as the week-long pledge drive for the behind-the-scenes folks, at least. It's probably more wearing on us as listeners to have the longer pledge drive. But we find that the preparation is very intense and that the novelty of it seems to help, that if we were doing several one days a year, that might wear off based on what we hear from other stations. But we have a couple of other ideas that we're thinking about. One that we've talked about is kind of try to shorten the drive at least by half. The one of the challenges is the dollar amount of that fall drive. That's about $1 million, $1.1 million that we need to raise. So compare that to the 300,000 or so that we need to raise in the spring drive, and it makes it harder to imagine doing everything in one day.
Yeah, so it's not going to be a One Day Wednesday for the fall.
Not the fall, although mm-hmm. We had, looking at the calendar for this year, we may have a one-day drive in December. In advance of the holidays.
Yeah. And, you know, we've done, I know in the past, take days off mm-hmm. where we, you know, you can do that, or sometimes you reach the goal and stop the pledge drive. Is that under consideration?
Those are all possibilities. The biggest challenge is every single pledge drive is an experiment because something will have changed, whether an environmental factor, something in what's in the news may have changed, or the ability we have to book just the right guests on the Ideas Network may have changed. So we never 100% know. We've become very, very skillful at predicting how the year will go, but any one campaign, we're a little less sure.
Yeah. Since we're on the topic of fundraising, I see that some spring sweepstakes are coming up. What can you tell us about spring sweepstakes, Mike?
Well, that there are some great prizes and that the deadline is almost here. People that have been seeing it either on our website, which I'm looking right now, it looks like it's already down from there. So what's left mainly is people receiving notices in the mail and that sort of thing. So if you're thinking of entering, there's some flights in there and all kinds of fun packages. If I recall, there's Packer tickets and so on. So some really great stuff that you could win. And obviously, some people make a donation when they participate in the sweepstakes, and that helps as well.
So more information on WPR.org for the spring sweepstakes. We're talking with Mike Crane. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike is usually with us the first Monday of every month. Last Monday, we had to preempt our regularly scheduled program with him because of the breaking news of the killing of Osama bin Laden. Mike, I wanted to ask you a little bit about that. We did rearrange our entire morning last Monday.
Mm-hmm.
And we
pretty much the whole day.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, that's right. And we called people who were scheduled and told them sorry. And then we scrambled and found different guests to talk about Osama bin Laden. But there are some listeners who wonder why we didn't carry the announcement from the president the night before. Why didn't we?
Basic failure. I like to put ourselves in the best light, of course. That's my job. But one of the things we're looking at internally is, was there anything we could have done to make sure that such announcements and news, breaking news, gets on the air? And it turned out information was a bit sketchy that night. And our biggest problem is that whether it's NPR or the stations around the country, very much including WPR, we're very, very thinly staffed by weekend nights. If there's even one person here, that's at certain times of the weekend, unusual. This being a once in every, you know, how many years event, it is hard to plan for that. And we still should have done it. That's the bottom line. So we are talking about ways that we can be more ready for such things, because I think the listener that emailed me suggested that's the right thing to do, and I agree with him, and so we are working on it.
We certainly do try to respond to important breaking news of the day on Wisconsin Public Radio. We received some awards over the weekend for news coverage, for continuing coverage, for investigative reporting, for spot news, and many, many, many other categories at the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association Awards and at the Milwaukee Press Club Awards, both taking place on Saturday night. Mike and I were at the Wisconsin Public Broadcasting Awards on Saturday here in the Madison area. And I'm very proud and humbled to accept the award for the second place in Best Morning Show for a news talk station in the state of Wisconsin. And that's wonderful. I really appreciate that.
Tough competition. And we were gratified to see awards not only for Wisconsin Public Radio at the Wisconsin Broadcasters event, but also for our colleagues at Milwaukee Public Radio, which is a different organization, and for Radio Milwaukee, which is WYMS. They won a good number of awards focused on their particular gifts to the community. So I was very proud that way. And we had a hand in some things that Wisconsin Public Television won, including WisconsinVote.org, which was recognized for its work in election coverage, and Wisconsin Public Television for the Wisconsin Vietnam War stories and the LZ Lambeau event. Those were honors. And then for election coverage, WPR, WPT, and the web work were all recognized as being excellent. So we were thrilled all around with those honors.
Yes, we were. Maybe you want to bestow some awards on the best public radio programming that you've heard. Maybe you want to nominate someone as the best guest or the funniest moment or the program that you gain the most from. Yeah, just a way to suggest calls you might want to call in today at 1-800-642-1234, or any question or feedback that you have for Mike Crane is also welcome. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 22 minutes past 8 o'clock on this Monday, May the 9th. Tomorrow at this time, it's On Your Money with financial planner Kevin McKinley. Kevin will answer your personal finance questions and share some money-saving tips. Tomorrow, every Tuesday, between 8 and 9, it's On Your Money. Right now, we are talking with Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. He's here to answer your questions about Wisconsin Public Radio. Everything you wanted to know about this service, but maybe didn't have the time to ask, well, how about right now? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. And you can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike, since I just mentioned Facebook, why don't we talk about Wisconsin Public Radio's new social media guidelines? So we have new guidelines for people who want to post on our Facebook pages?
Yes, they're not new in that we've borrowed pretty much whole cloth from the National Public Radio guidelines and customized them a bit for our situation. But they seem to be working for NPR, which has been at this for a lot longer than we have. And they're similar to things that we try to use to govern ourselves on the radio about being, you know, disagree without being disagreeable kind of things. And we just lay it out. If you can't be polite, don't say it. Don't use obscenities, those sorts of things. And encouragement for people to post their own original thoughts, not to be spending a tremendous amount of the space there copying and pasting things from other people, but instead to put their own thoughts about things up.
Yeah, and I know that in the past, the rare occasion that we've ever removed a post, for the Joy Cardine show anyway, it was because the post maybe had an obscenity in it, and the F-bomb, mm-hmm. or it had nothing to do with the topic at all. It was just some sort of spam or something like that. Yeah. And those are about the only cases that we've ever done the removal.
The great difficulty that you'll run into, though, and I've had many an email debate with listeners about this over the years, is who's deciding what's relevant? And people that put the post up there, they feel it's relevant, and for us to decide that it's not can be the cause of significant consternation.
Oh, so. Yeah, absolutely. But if it's sort of, I don't know, audit the Fed on every single post, every single topic, it seems as though that it's kind of clear that that's not really what's being discussed each hour, you know.
Comments are a huge challenge for news media. There have been a variety of efforts to find a solution to the vitriol and so on that you'll see. Some newspapers, for instance, have decided after having comments that they weren't going to do it anymore, or they were going to moderate it heavily but then didn't have the staff to do the moderation. They're challenging things.
And it absolutely is. So rarely has a comment been removed, at least from our Facebook page. But is there an appeals process if somebody objects to a comment being removed?
Well, that's actually a weakness of the policy, as a matter of fact, is that we haven't established, maybe perhaps because we hadn't really had much of an issue with it, but we haven't established an obvious routine for appealing. What has happened is that people know they can email us at the usual emails, like talk@WPR.org, and they do tend to get through to us about things. But it is something we need to work on.
Yeah. We received a call from Cheryl in Iron Mountain, Michigan, who couldn't stay on the line, and she wonders about a new transmitter in Niagara. And are there any updates? Are we going to put a transmitter up in Niagara?
Well, we don't know. And the reason we don't know is that we had applied for a frequency there, and there was competition, so we don't know what will happen in terms of a final selection of a licensee. And then there's the challenge of actually identifying the funds and so on. And so let's assume for the moment that we do end up receiving the license. One of the real challenges, and this was something I forgot to mention with the federal funding, a really important program for public broadcasters was eliminated, at least in this round, and it had been around for 35 or 40 years. It's the PTFP, or Public Telecommunications Facilities Program, and that program has provided a 50 and sometimes even a 75% federal grant, and the station then has to match the remaining dollars, and has helped us to construct numerous stations over the years. Funding that was already approved, in fact, is helping us to build a station that is going to be a much more powerful station for the Shawamigan Bay. And in the absence of that program, our ability to raise sufficient funds to put up a new transmitter, which can be as much as $300,000 or $400,000, depending on what's needed, that is really much more in question. So we don't know for sure about Niagara yet.
Well, that's the one area of the state where we don't have a real clear signal, isn't that
right?
Northwoods
is a real tough spot, yes. Yeah.
Well, I know that there have been a number of different technical anomalies over the past a few weeks. WLBL AM had an outage due to maintenance work. There were instances when Wisconsin public television audio was being heard on our lacrosse stations briefly. What's going on?
Well, it's a really complex system. That's mm-hmm. one of the things. And in the case of WLBL, the safety of the workers was assured by their turning the power off. And sometimes that work does have to occur during the day. We've talked with the engineering team to see if maybe that work could have been done at night when WLBL already goes to very low power. And in fact, in a subsequent round, they did adjust some of how they did their work. But that's safety is paramount. So that will happen at some times. And another case is that the way that we've interconnected these 32 stations is through a variety of means, microwave towers and internet connections in some cases. And we do so jointly with Wisconsin Public Television. And occasionally something goes ahoo, as they say, and it did in that case. Sometimes, too, it's really just a matter of weather conditions. We had audio problems in Park Falls at one point that was just because of the very severe wind that we were getting a couple of weeks ago. And we are definitely subject to conditions when it comes to putting a signal out from a tower.
Mike Crane is our guest. He is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio. Mike joins us once a month to answer your questions and respond to your feedback about Wisconsin Public Radio. This is your opportunity to talk to the head honcho at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk at WPR.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Your question or feedback can be about programming. It can be about technical issues. It could be about new media or the website. Anything goes. It's all things Wisconsin Public Radio. And maybe you have some thoughts on programming in terms of what's your favorite program or programs on Wisconsin Public Radio and why. We'll welcome your nominations for the best programming, as one of the topics today was a lot of the awards that Wisconsin Public Radio won over the weekend, including the best radio station from the Milwaukee Press Club, which was awarded on Saturday night. Lots of callers now, so let's start taking calls. Marge in Delafield is with us. Hi, Marge.
Good morning, Joy and Mike.
Morning.
I'd like to express some opinions as regarding why the Republicans are asking for a reduction in funding. Is that allowed on this portion of the program, or is that next time?
Well, we did talk about it just a little while ago. Marge, what is it that you wanted to follow up on?
Okay. I wanted to mention that I think, one of the reasons, I'm not a Republican. Now, one of the reasons that people, that the Republicans and others are against or for reduction in funding is because of the choice of guests. I have a kind of a glaring example. Last week, I think it was, there was a program on birthers, the birth of
President Obama.
President, yes, mm-hmm. Thank you. I'm a little lost for words here this morning. And the professor kind of misled the people, I think. And Joy didn't, excuse me, Joy, but you didn't correct him.
I don't remember the program.
Okay, the question was he qualified to be president? And he has to have been born on American soil. And the professor that you had on kept saying, no, he's an American, but he never really talked about Kenya. And I happen to be one of the people who heard the paternal grandmother. She was at the birth.
All right, I get it. I get it, Marge. Now I do get it. So I do remember the program. That's not how I recall the conversation going. However, what you're saying is because this guest was believing that President Obama was an American citizen, that's why the Republicans want to defund us?
No, it's not. We're sure that he is an American. He was born of an American mother, so he could be born anywhere and he'd be an American. But I, of course, having heard the paternal grandmother being present at the birth and how thrilled she was to have this baby boy. And then later on, they said Grandma had never left Kenya in her life. And I thought, gee, that doesn't make sense, does it? And so I keep wondering because I happened to hear it, and I never heard it again. It was kind of quashed and never on the news that the grandmother was present at the birth and she had never been out of Kenya.
Go ahead, Mike.
Oh, I understand the discussion, and Marge, thanks for the call. Let's not dive into that debate now, other than to hear your comment about your sense of the funding issue. So thank you. I really appreciate your call.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Marge. Kay in Maryland is with us. Hello, Kay.
Hi. My thing is, when I have lunch, I get to listen to a half an hour of Larry Miller's show. And it's always so interesting. He has such a wide variety of stuff. And I was wondering if you ever considered rebroadcasting part of his program instead of rebroadcasting some of the other programmings that you do.
That's a great question. It brings up a broader question, which is rebroadcasting generally. I will mention that the weekly garden segment is rebroadcast on Saturday mornings, and that was in part because we had a sense that that was such a popular segment that people would really want to hear it again on Saturday mornings, and it was a good programming opportunity for us. But the broader question is repeats at all. We seem to sort of debate that on your show, Joy, when I'm here once every couple of months, because some people would really like us to repeat everything in the evening. We do a little bit of repeating of Kathleen's show and also Here on Earth in the evening, in between On Point and As It Happens being fresh shows, and then headed into the late evening programming with the BBC. And the one of the challenges we feel is that for some shows, it's so news-based that it goes out of date pretty quickly. That's even a risk with On Point. But Larry's usually a little more timeless, so that's an interesting thought.
Yeah, thanks very much. And Larry's Garden Talk is rebroadcast on Saturday mornings at 7, mm-hmm. Mike. And I think in the old days there was an evening repeat of Larry's program as well. Larry's going to be on the road coming up pretty soon. He's going to be at Bayfield in Bloom.
Yeah, that's right. Actually, I'll be there too. I'm looking forward to it. This is an event that happens in Bayfield on the Shawamigan Bay every year, and Larry's been there at least the last couple. And it kind of kicks off the event with a live broadcast with the Larry Miller Show. And so we're really looking forward to that. And for folks that'll be there, we have an audience for the show in a so-called studio audience, though it's not really a studio. And we hope that folks that are in the area or might want to be in the area will be there for a live Larry Miller Show. That's May 13th at 11.
It sounds wonderful. And I think Bayfield is the one place in the state, so one of the few places in the state where you can see the lupins or lupines in bloom, the beautiful, beautiful flower. Next, we go to Dennis in Oshkosh. Hello, Dennis.
Hi, good morning. Just a quick question. I'm wondering if there's a place on the website, and I just can't find it, when you have authors on, which there have been a couple in the past month or so, when they're done, where there is a list of books and authors that were recommended either by the guest and or by the callers, or do you have to listen to the podcast?
Well, certainly the easiest way is usually to listen to the podcast.
Which I can't do. Yeah.
Oh, well, that is not the easiest way at all for you.
No, right.
But I know that's a pretty common thing that Kathleen does, is she'll have a list of recommendations on her show. And typically she will try to post that on her Facebook page. And I know, too, that we could certainly, whenever such a list is kept, we could email it to you from our audience services folks.
Okay, I can go to her Facebook, but the last two times there were guests like that, the one was from a bookstore and one was an author who wrote about books. Neither one have I been able to find, so I was wondering if it was my inadequacy or it wasn't there.
We will check into that. Let me suggest, Dennis, that you email the request to our audience services folks or give them a call either way. And they'll follow up to get the list for you if that's possible as well, just so we make sure we don't miss
right.
you. But we will look into that.
Yeah, and it depends on the program and the host and the guest and what's going on. Some programs may have a written list associated with them and others not. But if you want to contact audience services, you can go to our website, WPR.org. There's places to email. And you can also, I think it's listener@WPR.org is the email address. Or you can call 1-800-747-7444. 1-800-747-7444. That's the number for, toll-free number for audience services, and they will be there to answer your questions and look stuff up for you.
I did want to address something else that I think Dennis was getting at, which is that our website has a tremendous amount of stuff there. But one of our challenges, and we've been working on it behind the scenes, is to make it easier to find. And eventually we're going to put up a whole redesigned website that we hope will address a lot of those questions of, I know you told me it was there, but I just couldn't find it. And we're going to try to really make that better. There is a link for the form online if you'd like to use that. If you forget email addresses, it says under Explore WPR, there's a link that says Contact Us. And you can go right there to click that and fill out a form, and it will get sent to us.
Thank you, Dennis. And we go next to Edward in La Crosse. Hello, Edward.
Hello. As a conservative, I want to donate, but all your hosts seem to be liberal or progressives, and I was wondering why you kind of discriminate against hiring conservative hosts to maybe offset, like, Kathleen Dunn's obvious slants.
Well, I do understand the assertion, Edward, but first of all, we don't have any test at all about people's politics when we hire them. So we couldn't any more hire a liberal talk show host than we could hire a conservative talk show host. It simply is not something that we apply as a filter and would not intend to. That said, the perception, I understand that you feel, and I'd say it's a fairly common perception, but it is also something that we hear from the left, that they perceive that our talk show hosts are clearly conservative. And I'm not really sure what to do with that other than to say, yes, it's true that hosts have their interests. Some are probably more liberal or conservative than others, but that their job as host, to the extent that they have a bias, I think, is to test that bias by inviting guests they might disagree with, or to the extent they might fail at it. I really hope, and it has been my experience, that listeners call us and call our guests to task to try to make things as balanced as possible.
Yeah. Yes, that's true, but all your hosts are liberal progressives.
I know you believe that, Edward, but and there's nothing I could say that could counter that, but I promise you that that is also what your liberal friends will tell me on the opposite side. I'll say, your hosts are all too conservative. And
Edward, it's the views of our guests, the views of the callers that are the focus of these programs. The hosts, and I think you would agree, the hosts don't say, I believe this. What do you think?
No, you do a great job. It's Kathleen that you see losing.
And I'll defend Kathleen that she doesn't say, I believe this. What do you think either? I mean, she's asking questions.
And then Kathleen, like, has the conservative first on two guests being on the show, and then she'll always have the liberal last to counteract the stuff like that. So just those little things seem to tweak me, but I want to give, but I don't see any conservative. I know liberals can be do a good show, so maybe conservatives could give a good show.
Well, thanks for the call, Edward, and I know that there are a fair number of listeners that share your viewpoint, and probably one of the most interesting things that I saw that attempted to address that was from the show On the Media, where they really tried to get really empirical, working with some researchers on trying to identify where the biases are or aren't in public broadcasting. And they found it was pretty tough to really pin public broadcasting down as particularly liberal or particularly conservative for that matter. So
yeah, that's funny. I was going to start arguing with Edward and tell him that I was a conservative and see what he had to say about that. But we'll
move
on.
You're not saying though,
yeah,
are you?
No, I my political views. I know we're human, and sometimes people can perceive a bias one way or the other. But again, Mike, I feel very strongly that we are not saying it's not the host opinion that is being expressed on these programs. We're talking to guests, we're talking mm-hmm. to callers, we're covering issues, and we're not giving political speeches. Anyway, you can ask Mike a question at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and he joins us once a month, usually on the first Monday of the month. This month it's the second Monday, to talk with you about Wisconsin Public Radio and to answer your questions and to respond to your feedback. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 15 minutes before 9 o'clock on this Monday, May the 9th, coming up after 9. Kathleen Dunn is with you, and it's another edition of All Things Political coming up after 9 o'clock. Back now to the phones and your questions or comments for Mike Crane, the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and Paula in Janesville is with us now. Hi, Paula.
Hi, Joy. Long time no talk to.
Yeah, well, thanks for calling. What's on your mind?
I want to tribute to all of you employees that are on the radio. You know, you could do a day of Joy Cardine or a day of Kathleen Dunn or...
Oh, you mean just to have a bunch of repeats of the best of, something like
right.
that?
The best of. A tribute to you.
There we go. I think there should be many tributes.
Your birthdays or something.
That's right. Give me a day off and play a rebroadcast all day long, Mike.
Well, that's you know, it's funny. I know that mainly that Paula, you mean that as a compliment to Joy and the others, and very much thank you. But it's not that unusual for broadcasters to do stuff like
that's
that.
That's right.
You know, I've certainly done things like watch the entire 10 episodes of such and such on a cold and windy Sunday afternoon. And the same thing might apply to radio. We'll give that a little thought.
We have a marathon.
Yeah.
We'll talk about it. Paula, thank you very much. Mike in Milwaukee is with us. Hello, Mike.
Hi. You know what I wanted to ask about Trish O'Connell, I think, with All About Pets, but the last caller, concerning you guys being too liberal. I've always thought that was an orchestrated effort on the conservative side to barrage public radio with these calls because they had the same exact attacks, almost the same wording, and they would never address the issues that you were discussing. They just wanted the call to attack you and say that you were too liberal. Well, now I actually have the proof that what I'll do is I'll post it on your Facebook page. But there's another item. There's on YouTube. It shows a Republican operative. It's like a training video. And what he's doing is telling people in this particular case how to go to Amazon. And what you do, you click on thumbs down for all liberal books. And then if you see some conservative books that you like, you put thumbs up. And if enough conservatives do that, and they sit at home, a lot of retired people, they just sit at home and do this, eventually that book will be taken off of Amazon. And there's little things like that. Tom Hartman had said that he's gotten some proof. Some people from the Heritage Foundation had talked with him and said that people actually get paid if they can show that they call in by using a certain name or being on the internet. I'm just saying that it's an effort. This one thing that I will put on Facebook for you does show that I think the guy's name is Paul Weyer, W-E-H-Y-E-R, something like that, that it's a whole plan book for the Republican Party to move organizations and agencies, like the University of Wisconsin, moving, attacking professors for being too liberal. It's a whole a plan that's been going on since 2001.
Thank you very much, Mike, and I look forward to seeing the post with the the information about that effort on the Facebook page. But briefly, you did have a different item that you wanted to bring up when you first called in.
I really love Trish O'Connell. Is it O'Connell or O'Donnell?
It's O'Connell. Yep. Patricia O'Connell.
Yeah, I really loved her show. I love her personality, her knowledge, and she's gone. Was that something that was a decision by the station to discontinue her, or did she decide she didn't want to do it anymore?
No. It was a tough decision, too. This was a couple of years ago now, actually, that it was the one program we were distributing on our own nationally. The other three programs, we partner with Public Radio International. And for a set of reasons, including what felt like it was unsustainable for us to try to really give the show what it needed in terms of promoting it nationally, we decided to let it go. And that was hard for Tricia. It was hard for us. We've been pleased that once in a while, at least, she's appeared as a guest on the Larry Mueller Show, and we hope that continues because we share your sense that she's a real treasure.
Yes, I love when she is able to join Larry occasionally to talk about pet issues. And we try to also bring on guests that have expertise along those lines, too, on other shows.
Sandy Sawchuk's another one. And it should be no surprise, I suppose, given how much we humans love our pets.
Oh, yeah,
that
absolutely.
It's a topic that just has endless interest to us.
Thank you very much, Mike, for your inquiry and the information on that effort. Julia in Fort Atkinson is with us. Hello, Julia.
Hi. Someone had kind of a similar thought, only on the tribute side, I was thinking in terms of having during Pledge Week or Pledge Days, it seems like we're running a little short of how to motivate people to call in. And I thought perhaps it might be something new and different to focus on the listeners, to have people call in and maybe make a pledge for their grandma who listens every day from morning to night, or for their grandson who's going to be graduating in May. It could have some anonymity if they wish, but it might be kind of interesting to have us hear who's really listening out there. Maybe we'll hear about the moms and dads that pick up the kids, that they have the radio tuned to public television every day from, 2:30 to 3:30 or something like that. I just thought it might be something new and fresh in trying to get people to call in and pledge, and we could really turn the microphone around and focus on the listeners.
Well, that's an interesting idea. It's funny that you say it, Julia, because certainly the comments that we receive when people make a web pledge, for instance, indicate that what you're saying definitely goes on. People are making pledges in tribute to people that they love as a gift membership or simply to remember someone special. And a lot of times they're also saying that it's true for themselves, that they listen all the time, that they have, 10 radios in the house and they're all tuned to Wisconsin Public Radio. And it's very gratifying for us working inside the radio to hear that. And we'll talk about whether that might make a good pledge show.
Thank you very much, Julia, for the idea. Jared in Fitchburg sent this email. I listen to both networks all day, every day. Well, that's a lot. When Pledge Drive comes around, your website demands that I identify my listening with one network. No matter which network I choose, I feel like I'm lying. Please consider putting a third button on the front end of the website during Pledge Drive that allows pledgers to identify themselves as listeners to both networks.
That's an interesting idea. I know that from a practical standpoint, what we're trying to do is to have a sense of where to sort of code you in the database, and we haven't had a third category. We'll talk about that. Interesting. Yeah.
So we're just trying to get a sense as to whether people are mostly listening to ideas or mostly listening to NPR News and classical music, just to get a sense as to where the supporters are.
That's the basic idea, and I'm kind of like,
networks,
I listen to both, yeah.
Thank you very much to Jared. Dan in Three Lakes is with us. Hello, Dan.
Hello. I just thought I'd mention, I spent a couple of years down in Iowa recently, and let me tell you, Wisconsin Public Radio is a vast improvement, but the one show they've got live, we get in the evening, and so we can't call in, and that's on point. But we get 2 hours of it repeated in the evening. It would be nice. They get in Iowa, they only get the first hour, but they get it live. Mm-hmm. And I like Kathleen Dunn. I don't want to vote her off the air. I think she's great, but it would be nice if we could somehow get on point. So opinionated old progressive fogies like me could get on and have a crack at them once in a while.
that's great, Dan. Thank you. And actually, you picked out exactly the dilemma that we have, which is that not only On Point, but there are a number of other really worthy shows that are out there nationally. The Diane Rehm Show comes to mind, for instance, as well. And we do get requests for that. But that's when Larry Mueller is on. So the sense we have is that rather than not offer On Point at all, we offer it in the evening, at least as an opportunity. And the fact that probably on a percentage basis, very few people really want to call in the way that you do, it feels okay. What really doesn't sometimes, though, is that On Point is very newsy. And I know, for instance, last Monday when the news was about the announcement about Osama bin Laden, that it was a little strange to think of On Point being a recorded program as that news broke. So that is a challenge.
Thanks very much, Dan, for the call. Barbara in Superior is with us. Hello, Barbara.
Oh, good morning and congratulations. I was going to call and ask Mr. Crane why there is such objection to public radio funding. It's a very small amount of the budget, but I think Edward kind of answered that question. But I don't see public radio as being liberal or conservative. I see it as being informational. We not only have Krista Tippett speaking on faith, and then one of the previous callers had talked about Patricia McConnell calling all pets. We have Jean Ferraca, Kathleen Dunn. We have the programming Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. And the evening programs, it just gives information to people and new music artists from around the world, cooking, and I don't feel that we can find this anywhere else, and I think it's a very valuable service to us.
Thank you so much, Barbara, and it shows that there's a lot more on public radio than talk about politics, Mike.
Absolutely, and Barbara, you're obviously a big fan. Sounds like you listen also to Minnesota Public Radio, so you're getting a lot of public radio in your ears and in your mind, and that's great. And that's certainly something in terms of what you've characterized. That is our goal. You know, we're human. We may fall short. But our goal is to be informational, to inform, to educate, to inspire. All of those words are kind of in our credo. And so we're glad that it hits you that way.
Yeah, we have plenty of informational and entertaining programs on Wisconsin Public Radio, including a lot of the weekend entertainment programs. And I am reading here, Mike, that there's a special coming up at Big Top Chautauqua featuring the Capitol Steps and what do you know?
Well, it's actually two separate things.
Okay.
On the evening of July 8th, I believe it is. It's the Friday, in any case, of that weekend. It's the Capitol Steps at the Big Top. And then the next morning, it will be What Do You Know with Michael Feldman. So we'll be up there for that, celebrating with all of the people in the big tent. And this is a big, big year for the Big Top. They're 25 years old this year, and they're celebrating all summer long. And we're thrilled to be part of that.
Yeah, we only have a minute or so to go, Mike. I want to make sure that we touched on all the news that you wanted to share with listeners today.
We're done. I'm actually just really still glowing from the results from One Day Wednesday, because it feels audacious when you start the announcements and you say, some people heard the one that I worked on, which I had so much fun on, where I was going to cram the pledge drive into one day, you know, that kind of thing. And to have such a gratifying response, if we needed it, it would renew our faith in listeners. We already have faith in our listeners. So it was great that they came through.
Yes. Thank you so very much for listening and for supporting Wisconsin Public Radio. And Mike Crane, thank you for stopping by today.
Always a pleasure.
Mike Crane is the director of Wisconsin Public Radio, and I'm sure we will schedule him to be with us one of the first Mondays of next month. Maybe it will be the first Monday of the month. We'll let you know. Thanks very much to Rob Ferret and to Chris Molina for producing this hour. Thank you for listening and for calling in. Remember, tomorrow at this time, it's Kevin McKinley
and information and advice on your money. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.